David, where is MCB meeting going to be? In this room? I mean, the Donut Club. 52? Okay. So that's what I'm saying. Not until noon, right?
Okay, so if you have a piece of DNA, a gene or anything more valuable,
you
has the promoter, the direction of the phase of the RNA, you can make transfer to the DNA. So if you want to make messages, if you want to make messages, you can make that regular expression by pulling the gene behind the promoter, directing that by the So ribosomes are RNAs, right? You want to make RNAs, which are a certain gene. You clone that gene and hook it up to a tumor that is recognized by a specific one of them. In this case, it's T7 when you clone it. Then you can just make a new copy of the RNA by turning on the RNA clones. There are two versions of it. The original one was a 1970-something.
Okay.
And the second one is probably the 1992.
Okay. So
but I think I've listed both of them. I think the both of them in the readings. The material in the original one, for the most part, you could just load in the second edition. And the second edition has some additional information. So there's no more recent edition than those about it.
Can I follow you back to your office?
Yeah, sure.
Some questions? Thank you.
You want to ask them all the way?
Yeah, I guess so. Can't remember them all. But one that comes to mind is, you showed us an equation, frequency equals 1, that was F equals 1 minus x cubed over L.
Mm-hmm.
Why was x cubed?
Why was that
cheaper? I could understand the rest of the thing, but the X cubed just didn't.
I honestly don't know. I think the whole point of that was just to show the relation between the variables, the frequency, the length of the transition time, and the. I don't know how it was originally devised.
Well, there were some graphics in those kind of stuff. Some of them figures that you showed us. Introduction to laboratory research. Professor's time and tell us about the research. And the supplementary research too. Biochemistry too. Well, oh, when did it meet?
Yeah.
You do three or two things. Depending upon if we have supplementary or not. Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. They are definitely on the same week as the temple class. Well, except for Thursday, so it could be the same day, half the class. Yeah. Okay. Somewhere when we were describing a table 3.6 from, and it started to look like this, his G, TRP, A, ALGF, H,
or
H, and then RIF, and then there was his trip and this one again down the side, and then we were numbered. Could you explain the table to me, please?
The table just showed the frequency of recombinants when you're selecting for one marker or another.
I think also there was a diagram immediately before it that didn't make any sense.
This is three. Okay. And this was your tip.
I think there was.
And this was a figure.
It's a figure.
Okay, so all this showed is that we have an HFR and transfer of the HFR from this origin into this recipient. It's just showing the transfer in the gene order. So his gets transferred first, followed by orange, followed by true. Right.
Okay.
Which corresponds to the gene locations.
And the triangle on top refers to what?
Deletion.
Oh, deletion. And two colons side by side mean insertion? Okay. So here.
These are the results.
And these are the results. How do I interpret the results?
Well, what you're looking at here is when you select this gene, which is the only marker, how frequently do you get this marker and this marker and this marker? So you see that these are transferred late, this is transferred sooner than this, and this is about the same time. All right?
Oh, 7 and 6, almost the same.
Right.
Oh, and this one earlier because it has a 1?
This one later because it has a 1. It's inherited less frequently.
So a higher number indicates that inherited earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From the point of origin, which is at the HISP plus.
Right. This is transfer early. Because you're looking at transfers at what time?
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you look down here and you select orange, you see that the early marker is inherited about what you'd expect. The trip is inherited later, so it's distal to this one, right? It's coming in later. Lower frequency of inheritance. And this marker is inherited at a high frequency, really high, which suggests that RGH is close to RIF. Because if you select for RG, 9 times out of 10, you'll also get RIF. So that suggests that they're close together.
But we don't know exactly where they are.
You don't know exactly where they are, but you can assume, because of the high co-transfer frequency, that they're close to each other. And that's what these data show. This is plotting out the data that just on the table there. You know where RG is on the map, you know where TRIP is, and now you can see where RIF is based on its frequency.
So it doesn't actually say 89 on the circle.
Well, I should say 89 on the circle. Circle is illustration of what's going on. This is actually what's going on with it.
Oh.
Right?
Hmm. So it's done with respect to histeat trip A and RH. And we're trying to determine the location of RIF.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
That one, yeah. Oops. So after the slide for zygotic introduction.
Zygotic induction.
Induction. Okay. You mentioned that there's no repressor in the recipient, so it must go lytic.
Mm-hmm.
And prophage begins the lytic cycle, which is induction as soon as it enters cytoplasm. Sensitive non-immune recipient. Was there a slide that correlated with this?
What?
This, when you said non-repressor in recipient muscle.
No repressor in recipient. Absence of repression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see the slide again.
The slide?
Actually, is there one before this? No, must be that one.
Is it bigger?
Usually it seems bigger, but it tends to get lost.
So I didn't show the figure, it'd be easier to understand. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. So that this first nice figure.
Well, no, for me. I don't know. My brain works so much differently than my classmates. I'm sure.
So is this clear? Does it make it clear? Or is there a problem with understanding what's going on in this brain?
Usually what happens is I'm writing the notes and can't look at the figure. Plus minus means it does not have transfer of the phase.
It doesn't have the fertility part.
But the other one does.
To receive. Right. The other one is HFR. To do it.
Right, and HFR stands for high frequency rate.
High frequency recombination.
Recombination. And F plus means it does have the fertility part.
Right.
Okay. So what is going on here?
What is going on?
The
transfer from an HFR and integrated prophage, what goes on? You basically told me already, so you understand that part. This is just showing in a very, very simple fashion what's going on. Right? And it doesn't get any details, really, it's very simple. Transfer the prophage into an F minus that's not immune leads to
immunity?
No. Transfer of an HFR from an HFR of a lambda prophage into a non-immune cell leads to
Right.
And the reason for that is
zygotic induction?
Yeah.
What is zygotic induction?
It's this stuff, which you already explained to me.
Okay, the type stuff is interesting. So
if you had to explain zygotic induction, we didn't just ignore that altogether. You'd be able to do it, right?
No.
No? You had to explain zygotic induction.
Well,
if you're getting confused by the slide, which is really a simple slide, that doesn't have a lot of detail in it,
mm-hmm.
but you understand the concept, I'm happy. That's okay. As long as you understand the concept.
So the transfer of integrated prophage by HFR results in product of infectious centers.
Right.
That's what zygotic induction is?
Right. Now, I'd like you to know why you're getting infectious centers on the prophage transfer.
Why are you getting what?
Why are you getting infectious centers? Why are you getting lysis in the bacteria?
So what does integrated prophage mean by that? What does the word integrated mean here, actually?
Why are we getting off the subject of building from this area question?
I thought this was part of the answer. Prophage begins lytic cycloinduction as soon as it enters cytoplasm of sensitive non-immune recipient.
Yeah. Why is that not?
Because it's carrying a gene, I guess, to cause lysis of the recipient.
More than that.
So that it can remake itself.
So why is it causing lysis of the recipient? It's a prophage, remember? And in the prophage state, it's not killing the cell, right?
Yeah. Right.
All of a sudden, it's transferring into a recipient and it's killing the cell. Recipients, why is that?
Maybe it's no longer prophage.
Why is it no longer prophage?
Because it's had time to replicate its DNA information.
Why? How is it replicating this DNA? Prophages don't replicate the DNA, right? Why is it back to your chromosome?
Well, then I must be getting confused with something else. Because you, I thought you said that sometimes there are cases where it does replicate.
Lambda?
Yeah. Maybe you meant some other phage.
It does, it being what, lambda or another phage?
Another phage.
That replicates where?
Without the, in the bacteria, but without the being encoded in the host.
Without being integrated in the chromosome?
Yes.
Okay, so when we look at lysogenic phages, lambda is one model of lysogenic phage. And when it becomes a lysogen, or it lysogenizes, the phage genome integrates site-specifically into the chromosome. Model 2, bacteriophage mu, lysogenizes, integrates into the chromosome, randomly. Model number 3, P1, when it goes lysogenic, it circularizes, becomes a plasmid, and replicates autonomously. Is that what you're confused?
Yes. Okay. So,
so it's not lambda.
Mu is random. P1 is by itself.
It's a plasmid.
Plasmid that replicates autonomously. And what was lambda again?
Lambda is site-specific.
Site-specific. Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what we talked about in the last 15 minutes of the lecture. The site-specific recombination that leads to lysogen. Okay? Now, back to zygotic induction. When HFRs that have lambda prophage integrated in the chromosome transfer that prophage to a recipient, why do the recipients splice when the prophage enters into the cell?
Maybe it triggers death in the, well, of course it triggers death in the host.
But how? What's going on that leads to that? And yes, the phage replicates, but what's triggering all of those events?
Well, it's inserting itself via lambda at specific sites?
No, it's already in the chromosome.
Oh.
It was in the chromosome in the donor. So when the donor transfers its DNA, part of that DNA, or at some portion, at some point in that DNA gets transferred, you've got lambda DNA that can transfer. And when that lambda DNA goes into the host, into the recipient, suddenly things start going bad for the recipient. The question is why? Why is it starting to go away?
I don't know.
The answer is immunity, right? We're talking about immunity and repression. We're here talking about when the bacteria transfers to a non-immune host, it leads to lysis. If the phage is transferred by HFR to an immune host, there's no lysis.
Oh.
So understanding why it happens in one case but not the other gives you the answer. And immunity is based on the protein. The basis of immunity lies in the phage protein, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which protein is
it? It must be this gal.
What?
GAL.
GAL is not a phage protein, it's a bacterial protein.
Oh.
And we didn't talk about that at all in context of immunity or repression.
Oh. So what protein causes immunity?
Yeah, what protein is responsible for immunity?
Hmm.
No, it's something we talked about on at least 6 different occasions. So it's something you're familiar with, it doesn't have to be on the spot.
Oh.
And we talked about it earlier in our conversation already, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Some protein.
It's not some protein, you're using a specific protein. So why is the phage not going lytic in the HFR? I said it was a prophage.
Mm-hmm.
It's living there in the bacteria. Why isn't it going lytic? How is it maintaining itself in the lysogenic or prophage state?
Well, it's trying to go lytic, but the host has immunity, you said. So
the host
can't.
Has immunity because of something that the phage is doing, not something the host is doing. Jean, page 15. All phage growth. So how is the phage maintaining itself in the prophage state? How is the phage keeping itself from going away?
When it's in the prophage state, does that mean it's not inserted into the host chromosome?
No. What am I saying that? It's exactly the opposite.
Well, I'm not sure. That's why I'm asking.
We talked about this. We talked about the different types of bloodstream phages with the different types of prophage state. Lambda is what?
A lambda's insertion at in certain points into the
host. Specific, site-specific.
Site-specific.
Okay, mu is?
Mu is random points.
And P1?
And P1. P1. Well.
P1 is different. Right? It replicates as a plasmid. Circularis replicates as a plasmid.
Okay? It's independent.
They're all prophages. And that's it. Okay? That's your prophage state.
Mm-hmm.
Are you confused with the terminology?
I don't know.
Okay. Maybe that's part of the problem. Well, let's go back to the original question then.
Okay.
Tell me, why is it that HFR that has a lambda in its chromosome, lambda is in a prophage state, why is that HFR not dying? What's keeping the phage from going into the lytic cycle? Keep in mind that the phage in a prophage state is in a lysogenic cycle. What's keeping it in that state?
Well, it's still replicating.
Well, how is the phage replicating?
But the replication is occurring because of the chromosome
exactly.
of the host.
Exactly.
When you say protein, do you mean chromosome?
Yeah.
I mean, I know chromosome is the genetic information.
The chromosome is
but
consists
proteins
of what?
Consist of, well, also histones are inside of.
Bacteria.
Oh.
Okay.
I wasn't sure about that. Just because you weren't representing it didn't mean.
I mean, representing it.
Right?
But there's got to be some things that you know about bacteria that I shouldn't have to tell you. Okay?
Okay.
That at some point in time, you've learned about histones.
Yes.
And you learned about histones in the context of?
DNA in the human
right.
system.
Okay, so
okay, but I was trying to figure out where this protein, what you're calling protein.
Well, what is protein? You tell me.
Protein is anything that's coded for by the genes.
Okay, so how do you explain the fact that you can call the black promoter a gene? Does that encode something?
We call it a gene?
Yeah. How about a tRNA? We call that a gene too, don't we?
Yeah.
So does it include a protein?
No. Okay, so any...
So what's a protein?
Well, proteins are encoded by genes after translation.
Okay. So can you be a little more specific about what a protein is? If you looked it up in the book,
I would see a picture of tRNA there in the ribosome. And
if you looked up the definition of a protein in your book, what would you give it? What would it say? Look it up and you'll get the answer.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe it is the nomenclature. I mean, not nomenclature.
If you got a problem with the nomenclature, use the glossary in the back of the book.
Yeah.
You should be able to find it there, and that should straighten up a lot of things for you. I mean, I think you're getting hung up on words and you're getting yourself so upset about not knowing the definition of a simple word because you think it's something else. You're not clear whether it's something that you missed the whole point. Your problem is you get too tied up in details that you miss everything else. Okay? So if we go back to the original question here and think about what you're trying to understand. What you're trying to understand is what happens when a prophage is transferred from an HFR into an F minus bacteria. Why that bacteria lyses when the phage is transferred, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole concept of zygotic induction. 20 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago maybe it was, you told me what the answer was. And since then, you got so focused on what this slide shows or doesn't show that you forgot what the answer was. All I'm trying to do is get you back to point zero. When the phage genome is integrated into the chromosome, it is in the lysogenic stage, right? It's not killing the bacteria, it's not lysing the bacteria, it's in the lysogenic stage.
Mm-hmm.
What is keeping it in that state?
Well, you said histamine is a protein.
And what's the protein?
And I don't remember saying the protein.
No, think about when we talked about the last part of the lecture. How did we talk, we spoke at length about how lysogeny was maintained?
Well, I've left notes here to myself to look things up in the book. In fact, I wrote a question mark by regulator of lambda lysogeny. I also wrote lysogeny. I'm sure I said the name of the protein, right?
I'm pretty sure you said.
Strange.
What if you didn't say it? We talked about it at the end of the lecture. Head limit.
When we were talking about chapter 8.
I don't know. I checked. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
We were talking about lysogeny. Let's move on to the other questions because we're spending too much time on the concept that you can figure out.
Okay.
By just looking it up and understanding the less than as it applies.
All right. Go back to the book. So then, see, this is where we are. Okay, so when you mentioned transduction, I think, and frequency of packaging for mapping, and so co-transduction, and I wrote donor is dead, and frequency of co-inheritance of two markers, A and B, is dependent on, can I see the slide that we were talking about here?
This one?
Yeah, before.
Okay.
So co-transduction means two markers are being moved.
Inherited together.
Okay. Okay, so when you did the sample three-factor test, what are you supposed to understand from this figure?
this is the figure that will help you to do the next one. It shows you the genotype of the donor and the genotype of the recipient.
Can I see the next figure?
The next figure shows you the donor and the recipient and the possible recombinants and the respective cooperatives that would give you tetracycline resistant transductance.
What's the transduction?
Transduction is the result of a transduction. So it is the recombinant that you get in the recipient that has been treated with the phage lysine. Human astrosine phage lysine.
Okay.
So it's again, it's a nomenclature.
Yes. And
in terms of transformation, what would you call the recipient that you selected for in a transformation?
A transformant.
And then a conjugation. What would you call the recipient that you selected for in a conjugation?
A conjugant.
In this case, we want a transconjugate. That's
okay.
Similarly, for a transduction experiment, the recipient that's been combined would be called a
transductant.
Transductant.
Oh.
So it's just a normal question.
So, I didn't write a question mark here, but I should have. There was a part where you had a 3' and 3' hangover overhang.
This is in the DNA replication of the linear phage?
This is how phages, how do we do replication of linear DNA?
Linear phage. Right, linear DNA. Okay.
So those are 2 strands now?
A double strand molecule. The double strand molecule is starting to replicate, and the 2 products of replication of the double strand.
So the 3' and this one, this one combined.
The one called combines. You use the question now. Anemia.
Anemia.
Because they're homologous to each other. Mm-hmm. They have a single strand of DNA that finds its homologue and the opposite strand, they will anneal and base pair and make a double strand.
Okay.
That's what's going on.
Oh. I didn't see the second strand. You were showing it, I'm not sure why. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so when the experimental method of bacteriophage plaque assay,
mm-hmm.
that is, you take a bacteria and put it onto a agar.
You first mix.
You first mix it up.
Oh,
okay. First you mix the phage. Then you put it onto some medium.
Mm-hmm. You mix it with some chopped algae and pour that in an algae pot.
And then you wait to see where the bacteriophage has, the bacteria has died due to the bacteriophage, due to something inside the agar plate that is killing it.
No, it's injured during the tumor.
Okay.
So the agar is supporting the growth of the bacteria that are not infected.
Oh.
So the bacteria that are not infected are going to grow.
Oh, and thus it leaves those plaques.
It leaves the holes in the agar where the phage is killing the tumor.
I see. Okay. All right. sense. And then the thing that we started with that I still don't understand, but I will look it up. And I know there was something before that, but I guess I didn't mark it. Can I see the initial slides, I guess? There was some...
On page 10 or...
The initial slides that you started with on the lecture, I guess. So...
Can I get your watch on this one?
Oh, wait, go back. Oh, wait, yes, go back. Maybe this. Is this when you went to the board, to the blackboard, or no? Okay, so I think it was right before you went to the blackboard. The slide that I didn't understand.
What was the topic you knew?
I don't have it marked. I think I don't have it marked anyways. Oh, time of entry experiments. How does the time of entry experiment work again? It's because over time, different pieces get transferred.
Right. You're interrupting the meeting with different periods of time, so you should look at those.
Oh, so you interrupt it. It doesn't just happen naturally. Oh.
Specifically interrupting by blending for sure the meeting for the fact.
Okay.
That's the time of entry.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about now, is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't find the question, so there was something.
Really, the transfer is going to talk about it earlier.
Okay.
Those figures were signed the book. It was the first question we talked about.
Maybe it was the first question then.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the first one that we talked about, not the first one we talked about in class.
Yeah, well, we talked about it when we first came in, and then we went back and looked at those pictures in the book.
Yes.
Described that figure, and then looked at this and the table up there.
Uh-huh. So I wouldn't have to make such a table?
Well, you have it in the book.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's skip it up there, then, and describe it in the figure, too.
Mm-hmm. I have it.
So that was the beginning of the lecture. I don't know if that's what I wanted to get to.
Which is still major home.
Well, it's like after that, so you can clearly understand the last part we talked about with lesogen. And the decision for lesogen. It maintains lesogen and what dictates what's going on in the lytic cycle. And the different players are involved here. I will answer your question by saying that in the next
one. Okay, I will look that up. Feel free to go through all the slides. I mean, I know there's something that I'm missing.
Have you got mobile eyes and passwords?
Maybe. Go back. Yes.
This is the budget part. Budget cost.
Okay. So, yes, this is the way that the information is already up there. Okay. So, phenotype of type 5 colonies. So when it has arginine minus and
yes.
T?
Resistant?
Is that a T by
with resistance?
With R, okay. So when it has risk resistance and has a mutant for arginine, then you find 16 of these types.
Mm-hmm.
And and it shows the, wait, why does it say it's a phenotype for type R colonies?
The experiment involves selecting for type resistant colonies
mm-hmm.
and scoring for the unselected models.
So this is the scoring for the unselected. And
this is a data table that shows you what you get when you select for type resistance and then score for the two unselected markers, Arch Plus and Rich List.
So, could you say that again?
Well, what's the title of the slide?
Select Pet R and score unselected markers, Arch Plus and Rich List.
That's what the data table is showing you those results when you do that.
Yeah. Can we scroll back then? So that R is something completely different than Argin, the other one.
What is that?
Tetracycline resistance?
Yeah. So it's completely different than the Argin and the rhythmic.
Uh-huh. Can you scroll forward again? Yeah. So the pointed for 40 plus 44 for the middle two, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this just shows how they, it's another way to determine where they're located.
This is a way of mapping the genes relative to and applying the map distance.
Oh, relative to one another. Where did these figures come from?
Came from the Miller book.
Miller book.
The manual, vector organics,
mm-hmm.
was in the first set of bibliography I gave.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I have the first set of, oh, well, I have the second set in my backpack. And I have the book at home.
Which book?
The Miller book.
Miller book?
Or,
okay.
Yeah, reading it.
Did you get it from the library?
My roommate got it from the library.
Okay, that's good.
And I sent away for a copy for myself. Which reminds me, I have no idea where he went. Which is worrisome, actually, because he didn't say to me that he was going to come to class.
Was he in class now?
Yeah, he didn't come at all.
Who's your roommate?
Roderick Batista. I kept on looking to see if he had walked in, but he did not come.
You said he was driving, he was parking the car.
Yeah, he went to park the car. Yeah.
Are you still in the second room class, right?
What?
Did you have a class this afternoon, too?
Yeah, we have a class this afternoon.
So you should see me?
I'll see him. I should find him wherever he went. Can you scroll down one more? So,
this one we were talking about, and basically the same process you used in the previous one. They're looking at distances.
say the 0.57 is the transit from the 31. Is this multiple strands then? Because I see 0.44 at the top and 0.26 at the top, but those don't add up to, I mean, 0.26 is not the same line. Oh, they start somewhere before this.
They are actually determined by using different markers. So in one case, in the previous line, you selected for tent resistance and looked for the orange marker. So the selection was in the opposite direction. In this case, you're looking at the orange marker and looking at the tent markers and then selected marker. And in principle, the co-transduction frequencies should be identical. In practice, there may be some variation, which is what you're seeing in this case.
Oh, so the 0.28 and the 0.44 should be the same number. Okay. So how was this table made?
Can you do it again for a second?
If I was looked at the crossover information myself, how would I go about making this table?
If you did the experiment, you'd be doing a transduction experiment, right? And in this table, you have 100 Arg plus colonies, or Arg plus transductors. And you score those for the unselected markers. So if you did a transduction, and you wanted to get Arg plus transductance, you would play it on what kind of medium?
The medium.
How do you get those guys to grow?
How do I get the Arg plus to grow?
Right. Because you're starting out with recipients that are Arg minus and tet sensitive. You infect with the phage, you want to select now for Arg plus. How do you select for Arg plus in that population?
I guess I could remove, well, if I remove Arg from the medium, then it won't grow, which means I have nothing to look at when I'm done with the experiment.
So then, that's 100%. What you start off with is an Arg minus recipient. You're infected with phage, and you want to select for Arg plus transductance. How do you select for those Arg plus transductance?
Kill the phage?
What about the phage?
Okay, no, wait, wait. So I have Arg plus.
The recipient starts off as Arg minus. You want to transduce it with the phage and you want to select Arg plus. How do you select for the Arg plus? How do you get the Arg plus to grow?
Well, then I would want arginine in the medium.
So you put arginine in the medium, everything grows.
Right.
How does that happen?
Doesn't. So I have to kill some of them. I have to kill the mutant type, the wild type, the minus type.
Right. So you have to counter select with the minus. You don't want those, you want the plus.
Right.
So what kind of medium do you play them on in order to get your pluses to grow? With minus to grow.
Oh, I removed the arginine.
Right.
And the minuses are called oxytropes.
So if you play it on minimal medium without arginine, the Arg minuses won't grow. But the Arg pluses will. So that's how you get your transductance. So you get those colonies now. Let's say you get several hundred of them. You pick 100. And then you say, okay, of these 100, how many of them are tent resistant and how many of them are rip sensitive? So you analyze each of those 100 colonies for those phenotypes. So if you want to look at that tent resistance, what would you do with the Arg plus colony? How would you find that tent resistant?
I would grow it in tetracycline medium.
Right.
and if it grows and it's resistant, and if it doesn't, then it's sensitive.
So you take a little bit of that colony, and you put on a tetracycline. If it grows, like you said, it's resistant, if it doesn't, it's sensitive. What about for the roof mount?
Likewise, if it's sensitive to the roof, then it will die. And if it is resistant, then it will remain on the medium that has roof in it.
Exactly. So you do the same thing. You have a flavor for example. You take a little bit of the colony from the large plus, put it on the roof plate. Mm-hmm. It grows, if it's resistant, it doesn't, if it's sensitive. And that's how you generate the data that you have. You're examining 100 of the arch plus transductance and examining for those other transductance. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.